is the Blood and Platelets podcast, tales of transplant survivors with Brandon, Alex, and Chrissy. We are genetically modified humans who have come together to tell real stories, real emotions, real experiences, to fill a void for patients, encourage, give hope, and inspire those going through treatment and beyond.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
What about you, Alex? What have you been up to, man?
I haven't been working.
I love it.
I know.
I'm still
on your life, man.
No.
Yeah.
How you doing?
You know, it's something that it's weird. I don't know how to explain it, but I was pretty adamant about not working after I got sick.
Yeah.
It's just something happened to me. The way I saw life and like my perspective on what I was doing and just getting back into that grind, you know. I don't know. For being like in the hospital for so many months and going through so many rounds of chemo and lost so much time to think about and the unknown, I think that time frame really made me think different. And somehow I've been able to manage it in 5.5 years. I don't really know how, but
That's crazy.
I believe it has something to do with my realization of like the spiritualness of life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's possible. It's very possible to, I mean, of course, I'm pretty fortunate to have my mom help me out, and to be here with my mom is definitely not an opportunity that everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if anybody wants to just be out of this, the matrix or the rat race or the grind or whatever you want to call it, it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to, if I didn't live with my mom, I mean, I don't know. I just continue to reflect on life and work on manifesting. And just because I'm not working doesn't mean I'm not working towards something as a person and in life. You know what I mean? I feel like I've advanced so much more in life over the past 5 years from not working than I ever have while I was working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like it takes this like metamorphosis or this transition or this shift. And I feel like I'm just in the midst of this shift. And if you have faith and you believe and you study the history of other people who have, been able to achieve whatever they desire in life, they had to go through some kind of a change and a shift to get out of, you know, what they're accustomed to being in.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I think that when, like, because we went through our transplant, and it's funny because I've had to tell my story to this new business that we kind of won, kind of not, but it's a project that we're working on, right? And I've had to introduce myself, and the guy that is the main client, he and I used to work together long time ago, but right when I got diagnosed. So he's like, he fully know, and he's a good friend. Like, he knows everything that I went through. So I've had to, and he's been, you know, he's like, I want you to share your story when I introduce you to other people in his organization. And I said, sure. And so it's interesting because I've said the same thing. Like, I think because we went through our transplant in an adulthood, right? And a little bit, not necessarily like early 20s adulthood, but, you know, mid 30s to, you know, that area. It like when you come out of it, you do have this pause, right? I mean, Brandon, you were a kid, so it was like you wanted to get back to just regular life, right?
And yep.
We've talked about this where it's like, rarely do you have a time in your adult life where you hit pause on everything and you have to focus on surviving and yourself. And, you know, there's a big part of me that didn't want to let go of that, you know, like, and I totally see what I admire and I envy, you know, the way in which you've done it, Alex. That's why I think like my headspace too, going back into work is very different than what it used to be. It's like, I need it to work for me if I go back into it, you know, like I can't just do the grind again. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, like in terms of how we experience it at different ages, how it affects these like big decisions later on, you know. But I think it's great. I think it's great that you're doing what you're doing, and you know.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's not anyone can do it. That's for sure.
No, I think yeah, and I think it's, you know, it's. I mean, one of the reasons I don't is because I'm too scared to like fully commit to that. You know.
Now that I think about it, I don't usually think about this, but I'm just like existing every day and just make, you know, just being present and getting it through every day very positively. And, but you know, when I do think about it, like it's a trade-off, you know, I trade off getting, you know, compensation, a salary, money, so that I can go out and do things that gives me pleasure. Mm-hmm. You know, like go out and have fun and have a nice dinner, go out on a date and hang out with friends, and I don't know, but for me I feel like the shift, again, it's a shift in my mind. I don't value those pleasures as much anymore, and I value more like true happiness and contentment. And mm-hmm. and I find that in being able to give myself, and it starts from my home, you know, the most closest person in my life, the person that gave me life, my mom. And I'm very blessed that she's here. You know, we all know like they're not always here forever, and time is precious, you know, on this earth. And you know, when I was sick and I thought I was gonna lose my mom by going off to the next world, it made me realize all money and possessions and going out and partying and like self-gratifying things are not what I would miss if I left this world.
Yeah.
You know, it's how I treat my family and how I think about my life and how I wanna change and become somebody that's better to serve the world and the people around me, rather than just trying for a self-fulfillment of something that means nothing to me, like when life and death is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel very fortunate. Again, like I said, not everybody has the opportunity for me to have a mom that's here, that has a house with extra bedrooms, who's retired, who could keep me here and give me shelter and give me food and whatever. But like I said earlier, it's not like I'm at home going out every weekend or going out every day or just watching Netflix all day and wasting my life, you know.
I'm literally taking
this opportunity to really change myself and remind myself of what I said was important, you know, so that when I'm faced with that situation again, where I'm gonna leave, or my family's gonna leave, or something dramatic, you know, crazy happens in life, I'll be more happy with myself,
mm-hmm.
or more prepared to, you know, not have regrets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I don't want to have fun anymore. I don't want to go out and I don't want to enjoy movies and party with my friends and go have drinks and make money and meet somebody. It's not like I don't want to do that. It's just the way I was living before I got sick was it was just so bad for myself. I felt like I lived in a very toxic way, in a toxic way of thought, and a toxic way of, I'm utilizing this time to really change myself. You could call it, I'm sorry, what did you say?
You're detoxing.
Yeah, exactly. Detoxing, calling it enlightenment, calling it a higher understanding, calling it finding, you know, inner peace, whatever, you know, like I'm learning to not be mad anymore at anything. I'm learning to love everybody, you know, and these two things are something I never used to do. I'm learning to never, ever argue. I literally tell myself every day, like, I'm with every situation I face, no matter if it's at home or outside in the world, I'm going to choose to be kind rather to be right,
mm-hmm.
to have an ego, to fight against somebody. You know, like we started off this recording that everybody is so much negative shit going on in this world right now. Like, it's causing me to even become more of whatever I was becoming the past 5 years. To, you know, what can you really, really do to change this world? Is to first change yourself, to
mm-hmm.
eliminate all of the toxins, all of the hatred, all of the ego, all of the, I hate this politician, or I hate, you know, this person, or I can't believe this person did this to me at the supermarket, or I can't believe my family member, or, you know, whatever it is, that any kind of negative vibe. Like, I've been really, and I'm surprised that I feel like I've been making tremendous progress, and I never thought I'd be able to reach this point, but I'm reaching a point where I can literally turn every negative situation into something positive. And I believe that since I've been doing it for 5 years, and it's, you know, change is difficult and change takes time, and new ideas, like a whole lifetime of ideology and beliefs that I grew up with, like to change that at age 38 to 40, to change that completely and become a totally different, you know, mindset, mentality, it takes time.
Yeah.
And I'm really valuing this time to be able to do things like this, to be with you guys and to be able to talk about this kind of stuff and listen to Brandon doing all the amazing things he's doing, and listen to you transitioning back into, you know, the workforce. It just allows me to, I feel like I'm in a great position to just really take a step back and have that same perspective that I had when I was in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I prayed to God, or I prayed to the universe. You know, I said, like, please just let me live again and have a normal day, like a regular day, wake up, brush my teeth, take a shower, take a walk, eat breakfast, eat lunch, you know, breathe,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, just have a normal day. I'm going to be fucking fully content, and I'm going to spread love, and I'm going to give. I still enjoy pleasures and indulgences, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's not about that anymore. Like, people yeah. come first. My mom comes first. My family comes first. Like, my priorities are different. My mind, yeah. like, kindness over being yeah. right, always. You yeah. know, if somebody wants to be a jerk to me, I'm not going to be a jerk back. I have the power. I realize that I have the power to not respond to a jerk. I have the power to not react to a honk or road rage. I have the power to not react when a family member is very being very stubborn or adamant about something that's clearly wrong, but I'm realizing there's no need for me to feed into that energy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm able to just like not let my ego get to me. People can just be, and it's just that's the realization that I've been having, and I've been living, and I've been feeling every day. And you know, I'm striving, and I feel like this is going to lead to me being able to give back to the world and make a living, and not make a living, just live life in this way, mm-hmm. not having to work, to be able to just be and live, yeah. and not worry about how much money you make, or we already have everything we have. If you really think about it, what do you really need to live? You need food, you need shelter, you need clothing, you know, whatever, the essentials. But everything else, if you could see everything else as just your blessing that you can gain more of and give more of, like, and that's the headspace where I'm at right now. I'm not trying to justify, yeah.
No, and everything that you're talking about right now, I hope that the patients who are going through whatever they're going through, you know, treatment or post treatment, I hope they're having these same realizations that you're having. You know, they have, like, I know, like, once you get out, you want to, like, go back to your normal life, like,
yeah,
but this is the time, like, there's nothing to do, like, this is the time to, you know, actually sit down and think about what life really means to you and what you truly cherish. And yeah, I hope that, you know, patients right now are thinking the same way you are, Alex. And yeah, because I know when I got out, none of this was going through. I was just like, let me do whatever I want to do. Even like when I got older, it's like I still had that, like, I want to party, I want to, you know,
yeah,
just let it all out. It wasn't until maybe 10 years ago, maybe even less than that, where I came to those realizations, like, okay, now I have to realize, you know, what life, you know, truly means to me, and like, you know, what can I do to help others? Like, I didn't think about that until, you know, recently.
But it still happened to you. You still got there.
Yeah, yeah, it took a little longer.
That's okay. Subconsciously, it was happening.
Yeah.
Understandable, too, as a child, to go through this is different than an adult, you know? I mean,
true. Yeah.
You're not going to have these kinds of revelations.
Revelations. Yeah.
But I think also patients, you know, you said, like, you want to get back to your normal, and it's kind of like the whole – it's interesting because I think when the pandemic happened – everyone kept talking about a new normal, which to me was so funny because they're not funny, but I get maybe ironic, but it was like, God, I've been talking about a new normal for the last 2.5 years because, mm-hmm. you know, when you go through the transplant and, you know, you, regardless of age and mental state, you do have a new normal when you come out, you know, and you have to adjust to that. And you have to make sacrifices. You have to, you know, you have also benefits of it, you know, like there's things that are good and maybe not as great about this new normal. But it's sort of interesting to see at a time like this where the whole world mm-hmm. is responding to a new normal on, God, so many different levels. But, you know,
it's funny. I told Artie, like, now the rest of the world feels what we had to go through post transplant. Like, I told her it was like PTSD when this happened. I couldn't, you know, post transplant, we couldn't go out.
No.
Right. Mask. And then when you're finally able to, yeah, when you had to go out, you had to wear a mask.
Yeah.
And so when this whole thing started, the staying at home part was like, okay. But then when I had to go out wearing a mask, it was like, oh, I haven't worn a mask in what,
so long.
Like 20 years now, for, you know, and so when I put it, I hate wearing it, just brings back Yeah, all those memories of having to walk out of the house with a mask. It's hot. You can't breathe. People looking at you, you know?
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah, it's, you know, I guess I kind of had that feeling too. Like the first few weeks of it, I kind of, you know, I saw like in the very early stage of it when no one was wearing, we didn't know much about what was going on, right? And I remember being in a supermarket, and I remember this woman walked in with a mask and gloves, and I kind of looked at her and I was like, geez, lady, like, what's up with this?
She was probably Chinese.
I paused and I'm like, oh my God, this is, I was that person just because, you know, like because of what I went through. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and now, and then it became, and I have taken sort of I've had a bit of like, I find a little bit of solace now in the fact that now when I go out and everyone's wearing a mask, I kind of feel like, all right, yeah, okay, we can all do this. We can all do it, you know? I'm not the only one who has to wear this now, because I used to feel the same way, Brandon. I was like, oh, I don't want to go out and then have my mask on. Everyone's gonna be staring at me. And it's like, you know, you look like a freak, but now everybody's got the same thing happening. And now, oh my God, I went out on a jog and I felt so bad because I was by myself, so it wasn't like I was with anyone. I was outside and it was, you know, it wasn't crowded. It was in my dad's neighborhood, so like no one's there. But you know, I passed a few people walking, but I didn't have my mask on, and I literally felt like, I was like, oh God, they're gonna think I'm like an anti-mask person, and you know, like I felt horrible. So it was so funny to have that happen. But yeah, I think it's like, yeah, a lot of patients who have already been through it probably felt the same way we did, kind of like, ah, get a taste of what we've been through.
Yep. But,
you know, I hope too that the patients that are going through it now, you know, are feeling less alone, that they have to have a new normal, because everyone has to have a new normal now.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's very true.
You know, I mean, I don't know if it provides them any kind of source of comfort. It provided me a little bit of source of comfort of just kind of like, okay, we're all going through this.
Yep.
But yeah, it's interesting to have this happen and be on the post transplant side. It's a very strange experience, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's been interesting, and it's also funny because I find myself like sometimes judging people when I'm like, you know what, that's actually not really gonna help you, because like, you know, I've seen a lot of people where they have their gloves on in the supermarket, but then they're like taking out their phone, they're touching their phone, then they're touching their face, and then they're doing all this other stuff, and I'm like, yeah, well then you're defeating the purpose of the gloves right now, because you're touching all this other stuff. Like that's going to eventually, your phone is going to touch yourself again, you know, but I find myself thinking I'm like an expert in this world, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, well, I know what an N95 mask is.
Yeah.
I have those, but I didn't order them. You know, I already had them.
I know. I think my mom even busted out, you know, like the green blue looking ones,
the green striped ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom had, she kept them from when I was sick. She had a stash of them, so she brought them out.
Wow.
She's nice. Like, who thought we would have to use these again?
Yeah, so funny. I had a whole stash too. So I gave everything to my family. And right when, like, no one could get any masks, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, just be careful when you wear these things, because you don't want to be mislabeled as someone who ordered it when the first responders are really needed it. Like... It must be a sign that says, like, I already had it. But yeah.
I was also thinking, like, just think if we created these masks, like, you know how, like, the nice, if we made our own back when we were sick and then started selling them and started a business.
No kidding. No kidding. Yeah. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, who would have known? Who would have known?
I know.
That's just how unpredictable this world is. And
yeah.
I'm always marveling at just just the constant change of the world, of the climate, the shift in the minds of people, and all the chaos right now. And
yeah.
But you know, I always think people throughout history always say, like, after chaos comes, you know, peace and tranquility, and then after a long time of peace and tranquility, there comes chaos, and
right.
It's kind of like the cycle of life. And I think the most important thing we can do, and especially if you're going through cancer, is to keep yourself in the right headspace. You know, just gotta see the bigger picture. You know, as weird as the weird goes, and as evil as the stuff you see on TV, like, I believe we're always moving in the right direction, but good and evil is always going to exist in the world. And you have to believe that, you know, in times of evil, not necessarily evil, but difficulties or whatever, there's definitely a, you know, clear skies behind it, or silver lining, or
yeah. Well, we've talked about the mental health, you know, headspace being so so transformative in our experiences of healing, right, and survival. And I think that, you know, I think actually this year has kind of given the general population, you know, an experience of turmoil.
Yes.
That
a good dose of it.
yeah, a very good dose of it. And and you see that a lot more of people talking about, you know, mental health and, you know, serving yourself in terms of what can elevate you in a positive way, right? And how you can help each other, and how we can come together. And, you know, there's a lot, even though there's all the messages on the opposite side of that, but I think the majority of people, you know, are leaning towards, like, we can be there for each other. We can, you know, help each other, be kind to each other, and, you know, and have a more of a positive approach to it. And it's sort of like, that's the same mentality you have to have when you face this illness, or any illness that puts you in any kind of medical crisis. And, you know, it's kind of like, hopefully these sentiments, because it's been raised on a global scale, hopefully it sinks in a bit more, and more people practice that, you know, and more focuses on that, and more, you know, uprising is in that direction of being there for each other, of connecting, of, you know, positive things, and also like taking care of yourself as well. You know, I mean, I hope all of that is on the trend and continues to be in that direction, you know?
Yeah.
It's very interesting to be, you know, I think our unique perspective as survivors is sort of like, I think the rest of the world will come out of this feeling a little bit like we did when we came out of our transplants, you know, like survived it. And we're going to be better for it, you know? I mean, I hope that that's the way it happens. And I believe that, you know, that everyone's going to say, we're going to be better for it, you know, hopefully.
I hope so. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
It's for sure going to get better. It's, it always gets better. The world is not getting, I don't believe the world is getting worse, you know. People might be debating more about shit, but I don't know. I think humans and human civilization, we're always advancing. You know, we're going to keep on advancing until we blow up.
Right. Well, I agree. I think that as a whole, humans, we're going to advance. I think that to advance, though, is to
go through the growing pains where you do have people who don't, who do see only negative, or who bring up painful things, or, you know, I mean, we're not going to get into politics on this, you know, platform, but I think that overall, if you took like a pulse of everyone in the world combined, you know, we're all wanting to like be in a better place and support each other and inclusiveness and all that kind of stuff. Whereas the negative stuff that we hear so much of is just so amplified, you know, it's like a small portion, but it feels large because it's getting an amplification on social media or, you know, whatever, you know, I mean, I think if we took social media away, it would actually be so wonderful.
We've talked about social media, and I, you know, you bring it up. I still truly believe social media kind of like our, you know, like our brain. It's you could either use it for mass destruction or you could use it to heal the entire world. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's
better yourself and others.
Yeah, I mean, like we can go on to log on right now and go on whatever social media platform and write a really positive, inspiring message and share it to the world. And you know, believe me, it's gonna affect somebody. Like it's and then if everybody in the world does that, can you imagine like the power of that, you know? So I think it comes down to being able to individually spread awareness and the word and the righteousness and love and you know, equality and harmony and, you know, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, spread it. If we constantly spread it, it's going to continue to spread exponentially. And it's possible.
I have a question for you guys, because this happened to me. So with the pandemic, have you found yourself to be like overly concerned about, you know, going out, getting sick? No, Brandon, you're shaking your head. No?
No. I mean, I take it serious, yes. But as far as like, it's going to stop me from living my life or doing what makes me happy, and like, no. Like, I still go out. I play golf still. Uh-huh. You know, I go to, if I need to go to the store, like, I'll go. Like, it's not stopping me from, because I feel like what we went through is so much worse than what's going on. Mm-hmm. I just feel like
this is nothing.
Yeah, it's not like I'm invincible. Like it can't, you know, I'm not gonna get it, but it just doesn't have the same
weight.
I don't know. The same weight as, you know, what we went through.
Interesting. I've had the opposite experience. I feel like I've become more paranoid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think because you're, what, 2 years out now?
Yeah, 2.5 years.
Yeah. Is that?
It's been like, I go to the market, you know, I wear my mask. I know what I can mm-hmm. do, but like, I have had moments of like panic, of like, I do not want to get this virus, because I do not want to go back into the hospital. Mm. And it scares the shit out of me. And I've had these conversations with Mark, because, you know, he has Harry, and Harry's 19, and he was home, you know, from college, because every college sent the kids home. And like, so, you know, it's like, and Harry's really good. He's one of the, you know, he's a young kid who's like taking it seriously, like you, you know. He's like, I take it seriously, but I still live my life. So he's still going to see, you know, friends here and there. It's not like he's going to parties, but like, mm-hmm. you know, he sees friends. So it's like, we've had this conversation where
I have had moments where I'm like in a panic and I'm like, you know, worried about exposure. And I feel like it's like a PTSD thing. It's like, I have PTSD from being in the hospital.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't comparative to other patients, it wasn't that long. I mean, I've only been there for a month, but I don't know. I'm struggling with like how to like, you know, feel less concerned about going out, you know, maybe to like a restaurant that has outdoor seating. I mean, I have been a couple times, but I get like anxiety when I go, you know, and I don't know if that is like, and I'm not saying it's particular to people who are post-transplant, because I know there's plenty of people who are, you know, have anxiety about the virus too, but you know, I don't know. I just have found myself like, I haven't really seen any of my friends, you know, because of that. And I just, it's been a strange experience. And I want, you know, I'm sure other patients that are more new, either newly out or in it right now, have, you know, the same kind of concerns. but yeah, I didn't know how you guys felt about it. And it's interesting to hear you guys kind of say that. And it makes me feel a little better to be like, okay, maybe I should live my life a little bit more the way I want to, you know?
Still being safe.
Yeah, still being safe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, in my mind, I just feel like nothing equates to, like, cancer.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, that's what it feels like.
Interesting.
So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. No, I see that.
Yeah.
Totally get it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to go to a movie theater, though, right now. I can tell you that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I still take it serious. I still try to stay like 6 feet away from people when I go out. I still wear my mask, and I'm like, I'm going out like, I don't give a fuck, I'm not wearing my mask, like,
yeah.
I still take it serious enough where I take all the necessary precautions, but just in my head I feel like nothing equates to cancer, bone marrow transplant, GVH, all that stuff, you know.
Totally get it.
No, Chrissy, I think, and Brandon, I think everybody has a different degree of comfort or discomfort with this virus because it's invisible. Mm-hmm. And we're only getting our information through the media. And then it depends on your degree of how much of the media you believe. And you base it on your own personal experience, and you base it on what you hear and the people around you. And what I've noticed, and especially in my family and friends, that everybody has varying degrees of what's comfortable and okay and what's not, you know, like going to the pool or going to somebody's house or going to traveling or going on an airplane or going to the casino or going to the park. Yeah. Or running. Everybody has a different, you know, and this person says, yeah, you can't do that, but then yet they're doing this, that this person says, you can't be doing that, but yet they're doing that. So, I think it's just, I think you're, because it's unknown, I think Brandon's doing the right thing by living his, you know, just being precautious, but not being too paranoid about it. But I think being paranoid about it is good too, because you're protecting yourself from something that's invisible and you don't really know like what's gonna happen, you know. So I don't know, I think the most important thing is just to do what makes you feel comfortable during this, you know, during this time. And then once it's over, then everybody, there won't be so many varying degrees of how people feel about what's outside of our doors, you know. Then it'll normalize. But I think nobody knows. There's no right or wrong right now. Like, people who stay home all the time and are super germophobic are right,
Yeah.
People who are going out and really, I'm not saying the people who are going out to parties and not wearing masks and you know, get large gatherings are right, but I'm saying, use your own judgment wisely, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think you're overthinking it. And I don't think Brandon's excessively over not thinking.
Right.
Thinking it.
Yeah.
I think we're just, well, I have faith in you guys to be, you know, well, very, you know, you guys know what you're doing.
Well, it's another lesson in, like, you can't control anything outside of really you, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a lesson we had to learn going through this, going through the transplant, post-transplant, like, you can only control yourself, you know? And so it's like another lesson in that space of, like, you just got to do you, you know, without endangering anyone else, you know?
I think that's most important. Like you said, as long as you know that you're not, you know,
I still don't want to get tested. To be safe. Yeah.
And I'm very cautious around people. Like, I'm always asking them, are you okay with me, like, you know, wearing a mask or not wearing a mask or being too close to you, or, you know, I don't know. I just try to, in every situation when I'm around people, I try to be respectful of how people feel.
You know,
because I realize everybody feels differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that from you guys.
So, yeah, just do what makes you feel comfortable and safe.
Put myself in a bubble.
Live that again, being in a bubble.
I've already been there.
Yeah, well, you know, a bubble is not necessarily a bad place to be.
Like you were
saying earlier.
Yeah.
You know, it's an opportunity. It's always an opportunity to be better, to advance, to, you know, get somewhere further in life. Inside, you know, inside out. That's how life is.
Totally.
Like, you know. But.
Oh, well, on that
note. I don't know.
Yeah, because you have to go soon, right, Chrissy?
Yeah, I gotta go soon. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna finish up some work stuff.
It's 2 minutes.
Yeah, this is nice that we should do this like every other week. Well, just hop on for an hour, just you know, get out what we need to, and you know,
for sure,
give some insight on for those who are going through some stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Any help?
Yeah, no. It's really great seeing you guys. Are you not at home, Chrissy?
No, I'm in my dad's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it didn't look like home.
No.
Yeah.
There's no trees or plants.
This was my brother's room when we were growing up, but I made it into my office because my old room got turned into my dad's office. And then we made this room more of like a guest room, you know, since none of us live here, but... So there's a desk in here, and it's easier for me to like work during the day without being at home with Mark. And I don't want to be at home with him all day long. So I have a little excuse. I love being with him, but yeah, it's like, you know, in a loft with no doors, it's like hard to work kind of.
Oh yeah, it's true. I forgot about that. Yeah,
I'm on calls and like all that stuff, so it's good to kind of have this space. But I'm here right now. We moved. Did I tell you guys that?
No,
you and Mark.
You're not.
Yeah.
You didn't.
You're not in downtown LA anymore.
No, we are. We're just like further in the Arts District now.
Oh, okay. You're closer to where my sister lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, part of Arts District.
You know where Bestia is? Do you know where Bestia
is?
So we're in the complex that Bestia is in. So our cross streets is Santa Fe Avenue and 7th.
Uh-huh.
Like, the main, like, if you're, what would be another big
there's like, I mean, we're a block away from the Soho House. I don't know if you guys know where that is. I didn't know where that was until we moved there.
Well, I definitely know where Bestia is. So
yeah. So 7th and Santa Fe. So we're like, I mean, essentially we're at the junction of the 10, 60, and the 5.
So yeah.
You were heading on the 10 east and you get to that interchange and there's that massive, big, like, cement building that has the three purple stripes.
Uh-huh.
And it says like DHL or Dependable, yeah, or whatever. Like, we're like right in that kind of area. We're just north of that. Yeah. Cool. It's a cool area. It's like totally, it's completely developed up and it's like, there's some really cool restaurants. There's some really cool, you know, stores. I mean, of course everything's shut right now, but like, it's a really neat area. And
yeah, they definitely gave that area a facelift. That's for, yeah, sure.
And they've put, there's so much that has been put into the development of it. But it's cool. So when, you know, we have like an outdoor barbecue area too, which is nice because we didn't have any outdoor space at the last place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we could do like an outdoor barbecue kind of thing. You guys come over one time and we can see each other in person.
That'll be great.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Some humans in person.
Right? Yeah. So yeah, we'll do that soon. But yeah, I think we should do another recording soon. And
yeah, it's just easy, and it's easy to record.
Or if you guys just want to Zoom and hang out.
That too.
That's fine too.
Yeah.
I like talking to you guys.
Me too.
Yeah.
Always makes me feel better.
Me too. You always remind me to be a better person, Alex. So your
remind me to be more zen.
Yeah, your work is having a really good effect on me personally, just so you know. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys definitely have a positive effect on me too. So it all goes around, you know?
Yep. Sure does.
Yeah, it does feel good. It's like, I think we said in the previous episodes, like talking to someone else, they don't have the same, they don't get it, you know? So talking to you guys, it's like kind of like a breath of fresh air, like, people who understand me and know what I'm thinking.
Right. So. I know. I totally agree.
Yeah. You guys don't think I'm too weird.
No.
You're like my own personal Dalai Lama. I like it.
Yeah. If anything, we envy you.
Yeah. Call me Ali Lama.
I just might. I love it.
Just kidding.
All right, boys. All right. Well, it was great to see you guys. Take care of yourselves. Be safe.
You too.
Yes, you guys be safe too.
Give your mama a hug for me.
I will.
Artie, say hi.
I will. She just got home from work. So.
Cool. All right.
Yeah. Yep.
Say hi to Mark.
Say hi to Mark too.
I will. Yeah. Okay.
You know, Artie. All right.
All right.
See you guys.
See you guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.